Hello and welcome to I Talk to Ghosts, the podcast that might frighten you to death, but will always bring you back. Tonight, we're going to be talking about near-death experiences. I'm your haunted host, Jennifer, a professional medium and a teller of spooky stories. Now, near-death experiences are such a fascinating topic because they give us a glimpse of life after death. And of course, the subject of life after death is one I explore all the time in a different way as a medium. Mediums should always aim to provide evidential proof that a loved one is still here and connected to you and able to communicate with you. Later on in the podcast, I'll provide examples of my work by sharing my latest in-studio spirit reading. And I'll also let you know how you can sign up for a possible free reading as my next guest. And if you're new to this podcast, each episode I provide a dedicated message from the spirits for someone listening. And since you're here, this message could be specifically for you. That's later on in the episode. First, let's explore that glimpse beyond the veil, the spooky stories. Are starting right now. I am an intensive care unit nurse. I was working the night shift in the ICU as an emergency responder nurse and a CPR nurse. I had been having chest twinges for months, but not really concerned. Our ICU is large, and I was walking down a deserted hallway towards our break room when I had severe chest pain. I couldn't breathe. My thought was that if I could make it to the break room and lie down on the couch, maybe I could catch my breath. I opened the break room door, took a couple of steps, and collapsed. I was lying on the floor, completely aware. And I realized I was gurgling with the old death gurgle for those in the medical profession. I was so sad, thinking of my husband and my children. Still aware, I then realized I had stopped breathing and just laid there for quite some time, staring at the floor and grieving for my family. I knew I was dying. And that I was the only one in the room. I did not have a patient assignment, and I knew nobody was likely to find me to render help. After some time, I was aware of nothing. Co-workers found me not breathing and in cardiac arrest. They gave me chest compressions while an ICU doctor intubated me by having to lie down on his stomach on the floor next to me. Apparently, they placed me on a backboard and ran me to the ICU room. That's when I popped out of my body and watched every single CPR and medical procedure done to me. I had two emergency beepers in my nursing scrub pocket. One was the CPR beeper. I remember hearing it go off as my CPR was being called overhead. As they were cutting off my scrub top, I remember thinking, well, I'm not responding to that call. I heard and saw it all. I could see the whole room without turning my head. I was on the ceiling watching it all. I didn't really feel disturbed to see my body on the bed. I just thought that I looked terrible, and no way am I going to come back from that. I watched co-workers do chest compressions and cut off my clothes and thought, damn, that was my best bra. I heard staff members calling out my labs and thinking, that's not good. She's not going to make it. I saw co-workers checking my pupils, saying they were fixed and dilated. I could see from the ceiling they were correct. I watched the whole CPR medication protocol followed, and so much more. I have a very expensive diamond ring from my husband, which a nurse removed for safekeeping. I remember thinking,
The only way that's coming off is my cold, dead hand. And then I realized, oh yeah, I'm dead. So... At that point, I saw my two dead sisters and my mother. I also saw a lady I didn't immediately recognize. All four ladies appeared to be in their 30s, even though they were older when they died. The lady I didn't know addressed me, and I realized from her voice that it was my husband's grandmother, who I adored in life, but only knew her when she was in her 70s. She now appeared in her 30s and was beautiful. She started telling me my husband needed me and was shaking her finger at me to go back. I'm sad to say I argued, because no way was I getting back into that mess of a body. My husband's grandmother was a tough lady and was getting aggressive with me. The next thing I knew, I was back in my body. It didn't feel good, let me tell you. Out of my body was pure peace, no pain, no worries. From my medical records, I have 10 minutes of no heartbeat or spontaneous respirations after I was found. By the next morning, I was awake and alert enough, on a ventilator, to write notes to anyone who would listen about my near-death experience. I had complete and total recall of all of it. Things coworkers had said while I was dead, I repeated back to them word for word. Although I now have occasional anxiety, panic attacks, and nightmares about all of it, I still think I'm much more relaxed. I'm no longer such a control-driven type A personality. Before my experience, I was an atheist. Now, I'm not sure what I believe. I do think that there's an afterlife, so I no longer fear death. I did have the sense that I'd be going to a heaven. Even before I was off the ventilator, I wrote notes to everyone and told them all about my experience. My doctor says I have changed his life, because there's no way I could have the knowledge I do about my resuscitation. The experience was definitely real. I know what I saw. I did not imagine it, and I was clinically dead during the procedures that I now remember in detail. My near-death experience occurred on a bitter, cold Valentine's Day. My husband and I planned to meet two other couples downtown at a restaurant for dinner. As we approached a busy intersection, my last memory was feeling thankful that the traffic light was green. We were running late, so I felt happy that we could breeze through. We didn't breeze through, though. Later, I learned that a man with no license, driving an SUV with no registration, plowed through the intersection, crossed into our lane, and smashed into us, head on. The collision turned our car into rubble. My husband, who is a physician, noticed me slumped over and unconscious. He couldn't find signs of breathing or a heartbeat. He panicked and repeatedly yelled my name. For me, immediately after the crash, I had no awareness of myself as a unique entity. Instead, I felt utterly and profoundly peaceful in a way I'd never sensed before. To my core, I felt safe and at home. I seemed to be immersed in a glowing yellow. I don't know how to describe the sensation except that I felt as if I had been dropped in a vat of pudding, but in a good way. I didn't feel dead. If anything, I felt blissfully alive. I experienced a comforting euphoria, and I sensed my essence shimmering in the middle of a life force. As I write these words, I'm reminded of string theory, the idea in theoretical physics that the whole universe is made of teeny, distinct strands, closed loops of energy, each string vibrating at its own frequency. Perhaps, at that moment, I became a closed loop of energy, both part of and distinct from the rest of the universe. When I heard my husband's voice calling my name from a vast distance, I felt annoyed. I wanted to stay put. To be honest, I don't remember making a clear decision to go back. At that point, I'm not sure that I had enough agency, that I possessed a self capable of making that decision. Over the years, I've become weepy when I remember my strong resistance to returning. Maybe the source of my tears is rooted in guilt, that my reluctance to return to my earthly body represents a betrayal of my loved ones, preferring the yellow pudding place to continued life with them. Or maybe the weepiness is simply longing for that peace I had felt. When I finally did return to my body, inexplicably, I felt no pain. It took me a while to process we had been in an accident and that I was staring at the crushed interior of our once sturdy car. My next memory is of a man opening the passenger door and talking to me. To this day, I can picture him clearly, in his 40s, curly hair with a receding hairline, button-down dress shirt, and no tie. He looked like a guy you'd find working behind a desk in some office. He said to me, "I'm going to release your seatbelt, but I don't want you to move unless the engine catches fire. I'll stay with you until the ambulance arrives." Then, the man knelt outside the car and held my hand until the emergency technician showed up and strapped me onto a gurney. Long after the crash, while we were comparing notes, my husband told me he had no memory of the man, and he said he never saw anyone except the EMTs arriving. After hearing this, I wanted to track down the emergency personnel at the scene to both verify the existence of the guy and to see if anyone took his name so I could thank him. But we were never able to find any witnesses.
This story was submitted by Crystal in Washington State. If you would like to submit a ghost story of your own, email me at speaknow@italktoghosts.com. Thank you, Crystal, for your story. When I was 13, I got very sick. At first, we thought it was the flu or a stomach bug. I was having stomach pains and running a fever. I tried to rest and recuperate, but my symptoms just became worse and worse. My parents took me to the hospital, and after an examination, it was discovered I had appendicitis, and my appendix had likely already burst. Rushed into surgery, I had a 106-degree fever, and the doctors had ice packs all over me to try to help bring down my temperature. I don't remember much from being admitted into the hospital and being prepped for surgery, but during my appendectomy, I had a startling, incredible experience I will never forget. During my surgery, I was suddenly out of my body. I was floating just above it, and I could see the doctors working on me. I could see the packs of ice, and I saw myself lying on the operating table, unconscious.
I heard a doctor exclaim, "Code red!" And I calmly watched the team frantically respond. My grandmother was suddenly standing there, down near my body's feet. I remember being excited to see her again, feeling comforted by her presence. And I floated over to her. She smiled at me and then said, "You didn't kiss your mother goodbye." Then she placed her hands on my shoulders and pushed me backwards, effectively shoving me back into my body. I recovered from my surgery, and I can recall everything that happened during it. My grandmother, who came to me and helped me that day, had passed away when I was 8 years old. Still, I had recognized her immediately by her smile and her clothing. She had been wearing her signature look, a long skirt and red Converse sneakers. I am so grateful she came to me that day and helped me during a very challenging ordeal. And I know she'll be there for me again someday. Book a tarot reading with me. Tarot can be a wonderful source for affirmation, validation, and inspiration. To book a session with me, visit italktoghosts.com/readings. Let's see what the cards have to say for you. Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. My guest this evening is Diane. Diane, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I am doing very well. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for meeting with me. And I think this is going to be a little bit of an interesting one because they're coming in with advice before they're telling me who they are. And it's like, no. But that could be part of them. Do you have people in your past who were like the advice givers in your family who want to reach out to you?
I didn't take advice. I was so stubborn.
Oh, that's okay.
So that's interesting. I think, yes, I think there's advice, like both my parents were advice givers, but they also knew that I was stubborn and
your own
probably
thing.
Wouldn't listen to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, really? Have you lost both of your parents?
I lost both my parents, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay. There is a man coming through. He has a lot of practicality to him, but also I feel like he could have been a good storyteller. Does that make sense?
It could be my dad, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm more of the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of the black sheep, and he was more logical, and he was also an artist, but he was very practical.
Yes. Practical is like the first thing I'm saying. And, but I'm also sensing this underlying frustration of not quite being able to do exactly what it was he wanted to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, he always said, "Diane, don't follow your passion. Go get a practical job, do your passion on the weekends." And I said, no, I want to do my passion as my career. And maybe, and he just took a practical job. He was always trying to do side things, like side hustles, trying to do things like that was his passion to make money. And it never quite worked out.
I think this is starting to make sense. That whole, he understands where you're coming from because of the choices he had to make. And there is a lot of talk coming in of, the first thing I wrote down was emotions, passion, creativity, your ability to manifest things and make them happen. And he doesn't not want to encourage that in you. He doesn't. If anything, he's coming in very supportive and understanding of things that are happening. He thinks you're so talented and you're able to manifest and make things real, make them reality.
It's true. Yeah.
And if anything, he admires you for that and your ability to do that. And he wants you to continue to feel like, you know, there's talk of confidence, or you are going to be able to continue your, this is what I wrote down. Don't withdraw because of conflict. You know, don't become a hermit because of it. Don't become small. There's a difference between withdrawing and reinventing, is what he's saying.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Completely.
And it's okay if you have to pivot a little, but things are going to work out for you. Things are going to work out. And he's saying situations don't define you. And I am getting the sense that he had had some history in his past where he felt like life had crumbled a bit, and yeah. He understands yeah. what that's like.
Yeah. I mean, I work in the, you know, the TV industry in LA, and we're on a strike, and we're in, you know, month 8.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. So many people are either like, I'm okay. I'm not, mm-hmm. thank God I'm okay. But some people, they have no choice but to pivot. Mm-hmm. Even now, I've started like other explorations on how I can have a career, but maybe not rely on this industry. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that makes, and then personal changes just in my personal life mm-hmm. have crumbled recently. My parents went through a divorce and I was there for that. So that, all mm-hmm. that makes so much sense.
Okay. Yeah. It's like heartbreak can influence us, right? And then our choices can kind of backslide a little bit. But yeah. in truth, you have so much opportunity to rebuild with your own choices, to become stronger in what yeah. you choose and what you pick, and look back and learn from, and, you know, and find that stability. You know, yep. it's kind of like it wasn't going to work because it just wasn't going to work. But right. from here, you can recognize what does work for you and what you can do from there.
Wow. Yep. That makes a lot of sense to me right now. Yeah, a lot.
They were like, we need to say all these things up front.
Wow.
Did your dad always wear the same clothes? I'm like seeing the same belt. You know, it's like.
Probably. I mean, he wasn't a fashionista by any measure. He was like, you know, he had like a, probably just like a black belt and a brown belt. And they were probably the same belt for like 30 years. Yeah, like button down.
But he's like, well, what about that pullover fleece? That was new. Like that sort of thing. Like I had the new thing, the one new thing.
Yeah, he maintained a style for sure. He never went out on a ledge. Yeah, that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Okay. Now, there's also a woman coming through. No one ever comes in by themselves, who has a much, I'm seeing it more of a more spiritual side of things. Do you know who this is? Because that's the first, she's talking about spirituality.
My mom. She was very spiritual throughout her life when I spent time with her.
Yeah, she also brought up sunsets. Did she really like to watch the sunsets?
Yeah, I believe so. She really loved to go out to the countryside and mm-hmm. in nature. And yeah, I think she loved to take a picture of a sunset. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I'm seeing this parade of sunsets. And the other thing was like, yeah, tall fields and like wildflowers.
She loved to go out and visit friends who lived in the countryside of Wisconsin. Like that was one of her favorite things.
Mm-hmm. I have this perspective of even like sitting in the field and just taking it all in. It
sounds nice.
Doesn't it?
I'm going to do that right now.
Right?
Yes.
No, that makes a lot of sense because it's this sense of calming and connection.
Yeah.
And who doesn't need that? You know, yeah. I need that. And yeah. We can all take that advice of go sit in a field and this is all that exists right now.
That's all you have everything you need. Go sit in a field. Yeah.
Go sit in the field.
that's what the doctor ordered. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. A few other small things were coming up.
did anyone have allergies or was allergic to something? One of the reasons why I'm asking about that is I was going to light my incense and someone seemed sensitive to the smoke.
My grandma would probably be like, ew, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Stop that. Ew. Like, maybe.
Right. Speaking of grandparents, someone was coming through with bingo. Did anyone ever play bingo?
Oh, I'm sure. So I kind of grew up with two grandmas because my grandma's sister lost her husband early in life. So it was so I actually had like three grandmas. Mm-hmm. So I had two grandmas on one side and those two were like two peas in a pod. I think that is something that they did.
Yeah. Like going to a hall and hanging out with kind of their community type of thing.
Yeah, they were both in nursing homes towards the end and like community living settings.
Oh, okay. So yeah, maybe they were forced to play bingo.
They might have been forced to play bingo because there's nothing else to do.
No. She's saying no, it was fun and it was silly. It was silly. Yeah, the word silly just keeps coming up. Where there was just a little bit of this is wacky. This you can't take this seriously. It is what it is. So we might as well have a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah.
With one of your grandmothers, was she either like a little unconventional or liked a variety of things in life where you couldn't quite peg her down?
Yes, my mom's mom was more unconventional. Yeah.
Okay.
She was more of a free spirit, and yeah.
She's coming through first with seeing broad horizons with her. Like she either really wanted to travel or just appreciated the different aspects of the variety of life. And it seems like she didn't want to be pegged as just one thing. I'm more than this, you know. She's bringing in that energy with things as well.
That makes sense. That totally makes sense.
With your grandparents, your grandmas and your mom, I think what they really want to impart to you is your sense of self and knowing who you are and owning that, relying on it, knowing it. No one wants to see you withdraw. No one wants to see you become a hermit.
Wow.
They're so proud of you. You have so many gifts to give and you can shine so bright. And it's almost like they're showing me this little lantern where you're just holding this little spark right now. And you're so much bigger than that.
That's all very true. That's very, very true.
Yeah. And they just...
Yeah.
It was like the messages are more important, but obviously you need to know who's talking to you to give it that validation. But all of that, like I'm getting goosebumps. Their messaging to you is just so powerful and so emotional. And they think it's so necessary. And they just want to comfort you.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes so much sense to me.
I also know that you're safe. You're safe. We all go through transitional periods in our life, and we just got to support ourselves through it, really. I do have, even though I was talking about all these messages, I do have other ones written down for you here.
Okay.
And I can also like take a picture and send it to you too. First thing they want to say is remember to play. Okay, we can't be serious all the time. Remember to play, especially if you're worried about something. Become a little playful about it and a little bit curious about it, okay? Trust and have confidence. Know your truth. Just know your truth. And that you're doing the right things. You may not be done yet, but you're doing the right things. So take care of yourself. In the process, make sure you rest if you need to rest. Ask yourself what you need, but you're on the right path and you're doing the right things. And anything you can do to kind of break it up a little bit with some play and laughter, but also come from a place of knowing your truth, who you are, what you're capable of, and then be playful with it. And you are such a creative person. So there's got to be an amount of play in there when it comes to that.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah. But I get very fixated on, because I am alone, you know, and just lost my partner and just a breakup recently, but just doing tasks around the house or just like everything I'm doing alone. Everything yeah. I do alone now. And it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Blast that music, you know.
I know. Oh, yeah. I have people today at my house working on the house. So it's fine.
Well, thank you so much for meeting with me today. There are so many important things to be said. I feel like I could repeat them for another hour because they're just so important. And the energy that is coming through is just phenomenal. It's like a tidal wave of like, wow, this is it. And I feel like I should kind of take a picture of everything I wrote down so you can read it whenever you need it. You know what I mean?
Thank you. I would appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Well, before we go tonight, do you have a spooky story you'd like to share?
I do. I have one premonition story that I've never really told anyone.
Listener ghost story.
So where I grew up, I went to a smaller school. There were a core of like 25 kids. So K through 8, we really got to know each other. And people kind of came and left, but we really knew each other. I had a couple really best girlfriends, and there was a couple guys that all the girls that were cute. So the story is about this, just one of the guys I knew since I was a little kid. We all graduated 8th grade, went to all of our separate high schools. This one boy went to my high school. We ran in different circles. I think in 4 years of high school, we probably only talked like 10 times, but we always had that bond. And I was, you know, from a little kid, I always had a crush on him. So there was just sort of like this, you know, always like this string, like this invisible yeah. string between us.
Yeah.
Graduate high school, we all go off to different colleges. It was just our freshman year, and during spring break, one of my best girlfriends from that childhood called me up to give me news, two pieces of news, and we were like 18. The first one, oh, I'm pregnant and I'm having a baby. Okay, that's big news. The second one was this boy died over spring break in Mexico on a school trip. And so I was like, she told me about the baby and I was like, oh my God, okay. And then she told me about the boy and I wasn't as shocked because two nights before I had a dream of just him very vividly laying in a casket, completely like dressed in a funeral. And I didn't, you know, I never dream about death, I don't think, or even at that time, I was only 18. But I really remembered it because I woke up and I'm like, oh, that was really weird. Mm-hmm. And then she called me 2 days later. So I absolutely had that premonition, or it happened about the same day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And we didn't have a crazy close, we weren't like super close friends. We just sort of had this like kind of a looser bond over the years. So it was very interesting.
Yeah, I completely understand.
Yeah.
Completely unexplainable, but still at the same time, you know, you got to believe it. There's no reason not to.
Exactly. It was crazy at the time. It was so uncanny. It was, even at the age of 18, I was like, wow. And and since then, like I said, I'm kind of oblivious, but I should probably pay more attention to signs.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for sharing this time. And, you know, like I said, the emotion that is coming through for you is just undeniable. And I'm so glad we did this because it's important.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. Absolutely.
Would you like a free spirit reading with me and record your reading for the podcast? Sign up for your chance to be selected by visiting italktoghosts.com/guest. And as an added bonus, if you don't want to leave your reading up to chance, I'll let you in on a secret. There's a discount offer to book a private session with me, so you can book a date and time for certain. Visit italktoghosts.com/guest for more details. I can't wait to meet you.
Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. I have a message from the spirits this evening for someone listening to the podcast. So thank you for joining me around my seance table. As I do my work tonight, I have with me some blue quartz. Blue quartz is associated with the throat and third eye chakra. It is wonderful with aiding with communication, clarity, and connection. So it's perfect
to have with you during spirit work such as this. I like to clear my mind, shut off my analytical mind for now, bring my energy up with love, compassion, and call a spirit close. Tonight I have with me someone's aunt. She's showing me, she's saying she was a bit of a firecracker when she was younger, and she ended up marrying into money, and she loved to spend it. I think the family joke was how many purses, handbags, she owned, but she's not afraid to admit that she was pretty frugal about sharing that money with others. And that's how you would recognize that this is her. She had a lovely range of emotion. We're not all just one thing, right? She wasn't just her money. She had a lovely sense of humor and a warm heart, but just not a very warm wallet. The other family joke is that she would come over for Christmas and would love to partake in the Christmas dinner, but she didn't really contribute a food dish. She claims she couldn't cook. Yeah, she's saying now, you would not want anything that I cooked and bring that over. No. Her message for you tonight is, she's saying she wants you to get off your butt and do things. She thinks you're so creative, and you know you're creative, but you don't act upon it. She's saying your dad is kind of a harsh, logical person and doesn't really encourage the creative arts, but, and again, he's not a bad person. He just can't relate and support choices like that, but that doesn't mean he doesn't love you and wouldn't support seeing you act and do and create. Your aunt is making a joke that she's gonna come and motivate you. do this thing and play. Just play and start creating. Start moving in the world. Start doing. And you gotta start somewhere. So just enjoy and realize that you have everything you need within you. We all start somewhere. So she just wants to encourage you to have a fulfilling life that you will love. And with all the kindness she can bring towards that, she wants to kickstart you into doing that. I think I'm going to end this here and leave this with you. If these messages connect for you, please reach out and let me know. And I want to encourage you to create as well. Take care. Thank you. Hello, my dear spooky friend. Do you have a paranormal experience you would like to share? Submit your ghost stories to be read on this podcast. I love sharing true ghost stories, and yours could be among them. Email me your story at speaknow@italktoghosts.com. Let's be spooky together. And with that, dear listener, we've reached the end of this episode of I Talk to Ghosts. I hope you've enjoyed my spirit work that I shared with you this evening, as well as those tales of near-death experiences. Do you have a similar experience to share? I would love to hear about it, so please reach out. In the meantime, wherever you wander off to, in this world or the next, just remember, come back and visit with me. Have a lovely evening and good night.